welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and someone yesterday asked me what my podcast is about, and I basically just said the intro of it that I just said, and my husband chuckled, but I'm like, yeah, that is the best way to explain what Very Amusing is. It's basically stories, secrets, and shenanigans, up, down, sideways, backwards, and forwards. Anyway, I hope you all are having a wonderful week. I had a jam-packed weekend. I did so much stuff, some with the Pearl, some without. I went to a party at my friend Hannah's house. My friend Hannah, who we had gone to a friend, mutual friend's bachelorette lunch, I want to say 7 years ago. And then I was at that The Muppets Mayhem premiere party. When the show debuted on Disney Plus, I went to the premiere party. I was fresh off having a baby, was fully confused to be out in society. I was wearing clothes I literally bought that week because nothing fit. And I'm just walking around this party being like, what? I'm in the world. What's happening? And then Hannah walked up to me and was like, we know each other. We went to a lunch a million years ago. And I was like, oh my God. Ends up Hannah was the co-executive producer, I think, on The Muppets Mayhem. Co-wrote Rock On, the song from Muppets Mayhem. We have to get Hannah on this podcast, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, it was wonderful to see her, to meet her friends, to hang out. I also had a wonderful cupcake at her house at this party. It was delish. But it's been a fun little weekend. And I'm not going to lie, there is a lot of stuff we got to talk about. And I sat down at my desk to make this podcast. I was like, we're going to talk about Pixar Fest. We're going to talk about this story I read online. We have a whole list of stuff we're going to do. And then I started answering Turo's calls and never stopped. I just couldn't stop myself. My favorite thing to do is to talk about trip planning, and I took it a little too far. So we have a Turo's Call episode this week, which was not intended. Again, we have a full podcast schedule, and I just, because I'm the boss, I move stuff around all the time. And my employees, aka me, and Jeff, but like me, get frustrated by it. But, you know, that's when you run your own business, that's how it be sometimes. Anyway, I hope all is well with everyone. I'm sure you saw the Halfway to Halloween announcements. I'm sure you saw the Universal DreamWorks Land and Nighttime Entertainment announcements. Oh my gosh, there is so much going on at theme parks this summer. It is truly bananas. Even though Halloween is not summer, but actually it is. I take that back. It is, it starts in August. It's summer. It's basically Halloween starting next month. So, we will get into those news updates at some point. I thought these calls were more exciting, so we're going with that. I will see you on the other side of this ad break. And that's all for now. Bye-bye.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Carly, Matt Richardson here. When you were talking about the lobby at Riviera and how there's something off about it, I could not agree more. I was on my run listening to you and actually agreeing out loud. I thought I was the only one. We are so spoiled with breathtaking lobbies at Wilderness Lodge, Grand Floridian, Polynesian, so that when they fall short, it comes off as what I call cursed architecture. And I don't know, that might be a little melodramatic, but whatever. So when they break the lobby into two levels, I think it just really messes things up. You mentioned Riviera, but there are also beautiful elements to the lobby at Grand Destino Tower, but it has the same issue. It's just two levels. And then Swan Reserve has you take an escalator up to the lobby, and I just don't like that. I have more to say about this topic, but I'll leave it at that for now. Anyway, thanks for the podcast, and I'll catch you in the park sometime.
Oh my goodness. Cursed architecture is so funny because while I would not describe any of the Disney hotels as having cursed architecture, there definitely is something off with the top level Riviera lobby. I personally think that it is because the building is so grand. It's actually like the Riviera is too cute for its own good in a way, because you approach, you drive up, you see this gigantic building, you see the skyliner, you see like these beautiful fountains that are paired outside the entrance. And then you walk in and you kind of expect that grandeur. And instead you're like, oh, where am I? Like, there's like, oh, there's a store and there's a coffee shop and there's a lot of chairs full of people. And then outside I see people playing on a lawn. How do I get there? What happens if I go to the right? Where's the skyliner entrance? Like, there's just a lot of like not chaos, but there's a lot going on in a tiny, tiny area. But meanwhile, like, their backyard, I guess you'd call it, is so beautiful. And one of the most beautiful spaces at a Disney resort hotel, in my opinion. But I don't know if I agree with you about the Walt Disney World Swan Reserve, because I actually kind of love that freaky deaky little lobby. Essentially, if you have not been to the Swan Reserve, you walk inside and it's basically like a landing. You can leave your bags why am I panicking about what it's called? Bell people? What is the universal term for people who handle luggage? Bell people? Anyway, you can drop off your luggage, you can take an elevator up, or you can take a very grand escalator. You know what? You know what? I'm realizing this might be a me thing, not a you thing. Wow, we're really unpacking a lot here. I think I appreciate the Swan Reserve architecture because it reminds me of the Hearst building that I did my Esquire internship in. The like famous Hearst Tower in New York City. You walk in, it's the same type of lobby. You walk in, there's like security checking on the right, and then you go up this grand escalator to get to the elevator bank. And I think it just reminds me of that. That's probably why I like it. So you might be completely right. And I am just like publishing pilled and think that it's wonderful because it reminds me of when I was, like 21 and working for Penny's and like eating a subsidized publishing cafeteria salad and loving it because they had a lot of goat cheese. They had like different cheese options. That's besides the point. Anyway, I like Swan Reserve because I'm like, ooh, we got levels. There's like levels at play. You take the escalator up, you check in, and then there's different things there. It's definitely split, but I find that split to be, maybe a split up is more palatable to me than a split down at Riviera. Because at Riviera, I also find like finding their elevator bank a little confusing and finding your way downstairs and out a little confusing. So while I think it's a beautiful hotel, it is at the top of my list for where I want to visit next, especially because now that I'm all in on DVC rooms, like, having a DVC style room with that theming and that convenience and like that whole like pool restaurant downstairs situation really feels like a vacation, which is important to me these days at Walt Disney World. I think it's actually pretty good. But now I'm like, we need to talk about good lobbies and bad lobbies, because you're not the first person to compare Grandestino Tower and Riviera's lobby situation. But Grandestino Towers is so much bigger. I feel like because you can see how you get to that lower level more easily, it's a little different. It's a little more convenient. It feels large. And I know that they, approaching that, you know, they were adding a tower to a resort that already existed, that already had its own gigantic lobby. So I'm kind of giving them a break there. I actually do think that lobby is much bigger because there's a lot more seating and a lot more there. I have spent a lot of time in that lobby when I switched from room to room and they like couldn't transfer my cards and I got locked out of one room and I couldn't get in the other room. It was a whole thing. You know, if you go to these parks enough, you understand Disney Hotel Tech is a very specific entity. But like, in terms of the best lobbies and worst lobbies at Walt Disney World, now I'm thinking, because so many of the ones that people love are pretty small. Like, you enter Yacht and Beach Club, that is a small footprint when you walk in. Boardwalk is also like pretty grand, but you got to go through the lobby to get to the big show, which is the Boardwalk. Grand Floridian, Animal Kingdom Lodge, things like this, these big expansive lobbies. I think that's what I look for. I look for a real wow factor in terms of size and scale when I enter a Disney hotel. But in terms of wow factor, the Riviera did deliver that with the people I was traveling with, because we walked in the Riviera and they both went, whoa, this is nice. So they definitely got the point across, but there isn't a lot of seating and stuff in that lobby. Anyway, if you have a favorite lobby, if you have a vendetta against a lobby, call in 747-CHUROS, let me know, because now I'm curious. Now my wheels are turning. Even though we all know the best party lobby, it's at the Walt Disney World Dolphin. You know, Finn's is where it's going on. Those corporate parties, they are intense. I've talked about this at length before, but I think it was probably on like Twitter or on Podcast The Ride or someone else's podcast, because it veers into the not appropriate for playing around everyone. But anyway, the party is at the Walt Disney World Dolphin at Finn's. Just Just keep that in mind. Okay, thank you so much for your call. Let me know if anyone has thoughts about lobbies. And thank you for this. Now I feel like I really got to stay at Riviera to really judge the lobby wholeheartedly. But I'm so glad you agree with me. I'm so glad I'm not alone in that weird little opinion. And I appreciate it. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Carly. I just wanted to call in for the very first time after listening to this week's episode and your hotel journey/debacle and recommend you my favorite gem of a hotel in Orlando. It's just outside of Orlando proper in Lake Nona, where they were going to build that massive Disney office, but it got canceled. And anywho, it's called The Wave, and it is gorgeous. I think it's like 25 minutes from Disney. We actually live in Kissimmee, but we decided to do a staycation there for my 30th birthday last year, just my husband and myself, without our baby, and then our childcare got sick last minute, and we had to bring our 11-month-old daughter with us. But let me tell you, it actually worked out. We upgraded to a suite room for less than the price of a Disney resort, by the way, and it was huge. So nice. So big, so spacious, so beautiful. We were just like, oh my God, where are we? It had a separate living room area where my daughter slept and her pack and play, giant bedroom area with a divider for us. And oh my God, the bathroom, it had this enormous clawfoot tub and a heated toilet with a bidet that I still dream about to this day. We felt like we stepped into like an alternate, very fancy, artsy apartment. Life in New York City. It also had these amazing, like, floor-to-ceiling windows, a balcony. I'm still flabbergasted by it all. Can't really believe it's real and that we got to stay there. It was kind of a fever dream, but one that I welcome. And I was going to mention the the outdoor sculpture garden with the bougie swing sets that my daughter loved. It's so pretty. There were three restaurants on site as well. So yummy, so delicious. We had brunch at one of them. And you actually met my daughter, by the way. You met her at Animal Kingdom when she was around 6 months old, and you were, I think, still secretly pregnant at the time. Sorry, my brain jumps around a lot. But yeah, I had to mention that. And anyway, I just had to share my favorite resort with you. And I hope you were able to stay there someday and enjoy the heated toilet as much as I did. I think it's really, really worth a stay. It has like a little bit of something for everyone and is in this really cool, area that of Orlando that not everybody gets to check out. So anyhow, okay. Bye. I love you and your show so much. Okay. Bye.
Oh my goodness. Now, first things first, we need to talk about the fact that I do not know what line of work you are in, yet I am demanding that you quit whatever it is and you immediately become the Waves publicist, because I have not been contacted by anybody at this property. This property is right up my alley, and yet you are the first person to tell me about it. I'm absolutely floored. I am, as you might say, gagged over this, because I am on this website because I'm like, no way this is real. No way this is real. And it is so real. They have the top of the line Toto Japanese style toilet. You're telling me I can fully like spend the day at Epcot and come back and sit on like the nicest toilet in the world? Like this is wild to me. I'm on the website and like, also, these rooms are extremely cute. You are very right. They're like chic, designer, but without like, sometimes a Marriott's like, we're going to put a pop of blue and a pop of yellow in. And this has that, but like in a very kind of like chic downtown way. They have one bedroom suites. I think maybe the issue is their website. Their website is a little tricky to fully navigate. Like you get like little snippets of the room. You can't really look at the full, oh my God, the tile in the shower is beautiful. I am 1,000% staying here because of you, so thank you. And I will let you guys know, it is called the Lake Nona Wave Hotel, as was mentioned on the call. And the bedding is, I don't know how to say it out loud, fret linens, which are exceptional. The Toto Neorest smart toilet, shocking. Luxury bathrobes and bath amenities, large walk-in shower, deep soaking tub. They have a smart TV. They have voice and app-enabled in-room controls. Oh my God. Glass smart windows that tint and block 99% of UV light? I'm sorry, what? Like, this is a real luxury hotel, and I have not heard about this. And one of the other shocking things to me is that I was tooling around on the website, and this Lake Nona Wave Hotel comes with admission, grants you access to the Lake Nona Performance Club, which is like a fully like blown out workout center. Granted, like if you're like me, if you're listening to this, you obviously are like pretty focused on going to the parks when you're in town. But if I was on a family vacation, if I was like, you know, I didn't have like Disney brainworms in my skull, like you all know I have, I would come here and go, I don't know, rock climbing on their 42-foot rock climbing tower. I would go to their cardio space because it is beautiful. They have a pool. They also have, oh my God, this like indoor track where in the middle is like a lawn that you can, it looks like you can push sleds on. You can do full workouts. I do a lot of workouts like that when I am home in LA. And the fact that I could like keep up my routine here, this is probably the best gym I've seen in the area that is in a hotel or tied to a hotel ever in Orlando. Oh my Lord, Lake Nona Wave Hotel. Okay, now this is what it's going to come down to, because I believe you. Also, the room I'm looking at, there's like a fancy suite as a lead on the lead image on the website. Beautiful. I'm going to look. Okay, we're going to go after summer. Let's go like mid-September. Let's do a like a Labor Day weekend situation. Let's see how much a room is in real time. Oh my God, it's so cheap. Oh my God. What? Okay, a king room on a weekend in September is the lowest rate they have is $272 for a beautiful king room with these fancy little toilets. Are you joking? Okay, let's look at the suite. A penthouse suite. Okay, this is a lot of money. $4,500 a night, but it's a two-bedroom penthouse. That's like the top tier one. I don't see any. Oh, one-bedroom suite is $531. Oh, my Lord. Okay, thank you for this tip. This is not an ad. I will definitely be paying to go here. Incredible tip. And also, if you're someone who's like, I really like to be on property. I really don't like to drive in, stuff like that. Totally get it. I totally get it. For me personally, I go to Disney a lot. So sometimes I really like to stay on property, take the buses, like fully be immersed in the Disney bubble. And sometimes, especially traveling with Pearl, I like to come in for a while and then have like a really kind of different, nice, non-themed place to relax at. I experienced both ends of the spectrum in my recent trip. I loved both ends of the spectrum. So it really comes down to personal preference. But if you are okay driving to the parks, let's see how far. Sorry to do this in real time, but I'm just working through my new lifestyle at the Lake Nona Wave Hotel. Okay, Lake Nona Wave Hotel. Directions to, let's say, Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom. 25 minutes. Not bad, because a lot of times it'll take like at least that to get places. It is, it is east of it. I get it. But wow, for like that type of, for that type of lodging, I would do it. I would do it. Thank you so much for this call. This is blowing my mind. I'm so glad we got to connect again after meeting in Animal Kingdom while I was secretly pregnant. And please give your daughter all my best. Thanks so much for calling. Truly, this is a life-changing call. Thank you.
Hi, Carly. My name is Megan. I just want to start off by saying I love your podcast so much. I'm so excited. It's my first time to call in, but I wanted to see if maybe you could help me out. I am planning my little one's first Walt Disney World trip in October, and we are crafting a conference that my husband is going to be on. He is staying at the Gaylord Palms, so we were thinking because they have free shuttle transportation, we would start off the first part of our week at the Disney World Resort and then kind of finish up at Universal. But my question actually comes down to this. So I am probably going to be, for a majority of the trip, a solo mommy with a 13-month-old. We are prioritizing going to Magic Kingdom and doing Mickey's Not So Scary once those tickets are released, but wanted to get some feedback from you on what you think the best way to tackle the parks in like 2 to 3 days is, being mindful of having a little one. Anyways, I appreciate you so much. Love the podcast. I also wanted to say, I just love that you are still sharing and creating content as a mom. It has been so inspiring to me. Love it. Anyways, thanks.
Hi, I am so glad you called in with a truly excellent question that I now live on every Disney World trip, so I'm very happy to help you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Churros Hotline. It's fun, right? It's fun to like call in and leave a question and like get it answered. It's fun. I love doing it. I'm so glad you picked up the phone and called. Welcome. I am so excited for you and your trip. I don't know what it is, but there's something about having been to Disney World as an adult without kids and then going with your child that just makes it feel like you're breaking a rule. It's like, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, I'm the one in charge. I can just put them in a car and drive them here. And we're at the park. We can just hop on a bus and bing, bing, boom, Animal Kingdom. It's really, it for me, it was an out-of-body experience driving Pearl to the park alone on this past trip. So I hope you get that, like, gleeful I'm playing hooky feeling, which I'm sure you will get when you hop on the Gaylord Palms bus and head to the parks. In terms of the best way to tackle these 2 to 3 days at Walt Disney World. So because you mentioned you're going to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, I would split your Magic Kingdom priorities into different days. So I would plan on your Magic Kingdom day being one of those 3 days, and then your Halloween party day being the second of those 3 days. Because if you split up your Magic Kingdom and your Halloween party priorities, you'll be able to tackle everything you want without being at that nighttime party and feeling pressure. Whenever I go to a ticketed event, they are fun, they are exciting, there is so much to see and do. But all of that layered on top of things at Magic Kingdom that you want to do can just add a little bit of stress because there's so much stuff. So identify what you would want to do at Mickey's Not So Scary and then work backwards from there to identify really what's important to you in Magic Kingdom and make sure that if you can do it all with the extended few hours you get from the party ticket, definitely do it. But if you're realizing there are a lot of things you want to do at Magic Kingdom with your baby on their first trip, definitely split it into 2 days. Now for the rest of your trip, I would identify your priorities across the park and kind of work backwards from there. Whether it's a ride, a character meet, or even just seeing a show with them, really knowing what you want to do will help you decide so many other things. Like, do you want to use Genie Plus? Do you want to go to multiple parks in a day? Do you want to go all the way to Disney's Hollywood Studios for one or two specific things? It just really helps you gauge what you want to do and lay out your trip correctly. Now, because it is your child's first trip to Walt Disney World, this is the time to make the memory. Because if you plan on going back with them as, listen, you're listening to a theme park podcast. You're going to be going back to a theme park after this. But this is really your opportunity to kind of set those memories in motion. There are things, of course, like Harmony Barbershop or taking some time to snap some really good photos in front of Cinderella Castle, which we did with my friend Zach. But again, if you are planning on visiting and visiting often, this is where you should start those recurring moments you want to shoot on each and every trip. And there doesn't have to be any pressure associated with that. It could be something as simple as we went on Winnie the Pooh, we went on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover, anything like that. This is the time to make that memory. Now, speaking of, you can buy Disney's official PhotoPass Memory Maker in advance, which saves you a bit of money. Because, truth be told, you're going to want to download every single photo from this trip. So just keep that in mind. And if you do purchase it, I highly recommend utilizing their portrait studios. They have one at Disney Springs, which I don't think you'll end up at on this trip. But utilize the portrait studio inside Magic Kingdom. It's called Sir Mickey's. It's just outside Cinderella Castle. Walk through and it'll be on your right-hand side. And you can bring your child and dress them in anything and get these professional images that show up in your My Disney Experience Walt Disney World app. And if you get that memory maker and if you save a little money by buying it in advance, all of those photos will be included for you. I brought my daughter Pearl. We put her in a comfy little princess dress, and it was too hot to take photos in front of the castle on this trip. So we took her there and we have these sweetest photos of her sitting on They have a little cushion for younger kids. Pearl's 13 months old, around the same age that you'll be traveling with. Your child will be a little older, but Pearl's around the same age your child is and sat in a little cushion. We took photos. It was heavenly. So I highly, highly recommend that. Also, you will kind of live and die by nap time. It's just the name of the game. I think at this age, you will be on one nap most likely, but a stroller nap is totally doable. However, since you are already kind of veering towards an end of park day lifestyle, since you're going to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, I would say on at least maybe one or two of those days, feel free to hang out at the hotel, go to the pool, relax, have that nap in the hotel room, and then head out for the afternoon and evening. One of the great benefits of that is that the weather can often be cooler, so you don't have to worry about just really baking in the sun during the day. And it also opens you up to nighttime entertainment with your child, which is so exciting. I took Pearl, as you know, to Fantasmic. I was not expecting her to love it so much. We showed up pretty late. We still got a seat. It was wonderful, and I highly recommend. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful trip. And let me know how it goes. Give me a call back at 747-CHUROS. I cannot wait to hear. Thanks for calling.
A
Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince. But no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're out here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, it kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid three times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these three times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart, because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey, and here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hey, Carly, this is Becky from Arlington, Virginia. I just listened to one of your April trip recap episodes, and your repeated use of the phrase boiling hot has me, how do we put it, freaking out about my decision to take my son in June. We're kind of at that point in school where he doesn't want to miss, and I don't want him to miss, and he really wants to go, and it's his birthday week, and we said, all right, we'll go. So I'm trying to set his expectations because he would go rope drop to, like, shutdown if I'd let him, which would not be pretty, but he'd do it anyway. We've talked about, like, your strategy of setting a few expectations and goals for the day. There are going to be some sit-down dining breaks, some pool breaks. We'll be within walking distance of two parks, which will help with kind of dragging him away when we need to. But I'm wondering if you have any other suggestions on how to survive other than not going. Or gear. I have cooling towels. They worked really well when we went to Disneyland last summer. But any advice, encouragement would be awesome because I don't want it to totally melt. All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. I am so sorry that I scared you with the heat. Oh my God, I feel so bad. I was just talking about our trip in general. I did not mean to frighten you, but do not worry. I'm going to take it all back and I'm going to prepare you to make sure you are good for your travels. So first things first, I cannot emphasize this enough. Heat was like a headline of our trip because it was so tricky with a baby, especially at this age. Pearl is still understanding, like, I want more food, like very basic stuff. And it sounds like you're going with a child who is a bit older and likely has more teeth and more awareness than our tiny baby girl pee. So while there is no way for me to tell her to, like, drink more water, have a Gatorade, you need to stay hydrated. Like, there's nothing we can do in terms of relaying that information to her, which is why I was so high-key stressed about it, because she would get overheated, but we couldn't, there's no real way to communicate to her the ways to cool down without just, like, we're going inside now, and then kind of just sitting around trying to cool down. You have a lot more options available for you, and there are ways to prepare, which I am going to set you up for success on. Now, you should get a fan for each of you. Sometimes I'm like, well, share a fan. Then someone's going to be hot. No. Each of you needs a fan. And then you need some sort of backup battery for that fan so that you have a way to keep it charged. I take back what I said on an earlier episode when I scorned the name of fuel rods, because I can't remember who pointed it out. It might have been my friend Kelly, but someone was like, fuel rods are actually really great for keeping your fan charged, because at the park you can just exchange them really quickly and then your fan is charged the whole time. And they were absolutely right. I completely forgot that that's what we were doing with our stroller fan. And I highly recommend. I did that throughout my entire trip. We used Fuel Rod at Disney World. You can exchange them for free, which is great. And then at Universal, we exchanged them for $3 a pop. And that way, anywhere we went, there was a fan on Pearl, and she was cool inside of her stroller. It does add a whole new layer of planning if you really want, because it sounds like your child wants to go, like, morning, noon, night, which, power to them. I am one of these people. I'm trying to reform myself to be a little more chill, but still, that is my instinct, and I love that your kid has this instinct too. But while you're already, you know, you have a lot of scheduling on the brain when it comes to a Walt Disney World trip, I would plan on doing indoor activities in the midday if you can at all schedule it that way. That way you're just not, like, out roasting in the heat, walking around for no reason, aimlessly, and you know you have at least some reprieve from the outdoors. This goes hand in hand with that, but also try your best to have a game plan in advance for lunch. Because if you're walking around overheated and hungry, you're basically, like, on a bus, on a straight shot to dehydration station. You want to make sure that you have something in the middle of the day where you know you're going to sit down. You're going to sit down inside, which sometimes is a little trickier. Especially at Epcot, I had to struggle with this because a lot of times I end up just eating outside, and in that heat, not a great idea. So try to, if you can, if you want to do quick service, mobile order in the morning so that even if you abandon it, you won't get charged unless you actually get the food. But if you have an order set up for, you know, noon, one, that way you know you have somewhere to go indoors. And if you would rather have an actual dining reservation, you can cancel it just a couple hours before and not get charged. Make sure you remember, because I didn't on this trip and definitely got dinged. But either way, having a plan in advance for lunch specifically means that you know you will have a break from the heat and you can kind of rest, relax, and recharge. Now, if you can convince your kid to go back and do pool time between, like, lunchtime and sunset, do it. But it sounds like that might be tricky. So I would definitely lean into water rides, but if your child is tall enough. And then also definitely go to Journey of Water inspired by Moana. I would honestly pack extra clothes just to encourage that they get drenched to cool off. Epcot was one of our hottest days in the park. And while everyone's, myself included, always like, Animal Kingdom, so warm, I found Epcot to be so warm because you're just walking these long stretches and there's not a lot of shade. So I would lean into that. Definitely go there. Definitely encourage your kid to play around, get soaked, and cool off that way. Now, people swear by cooling towels, but honestly, they are not for me. I think they look really, really dorky. I'm sorry. I know I'm saying this as someone who got so sick in Florida that they, like, were extremely sick from dehydration and could have used a cooling towel, but I just won't do it. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like, when I'm hot, I don't want to also, personally, I don't want to be, like, wet all day. I'm okay cooling off and then drying off, but I don't want, like, a wet thing on my body all day. It's not for me. I don't enjoy it. It makes me uncomfy. It makes me, like my shoulders are, like, anxiety shoulders. So not for me. If they are for you, definitely grab them. Otherwise, I would swap my earlier recommendation with a misting fan, if that is more your speed. I can never use those because I have glasses and I wear mascara, so it's not going to be a cute look. Literally, I won't be able to see on my glasses. My makeup will be running down my face. But if you are into that, definitely maybe get one fan, get one misting fan, and then both of you are covered. Other stuff, which I'm sure you are already doing, be sure to wear light fabrics, pack a foldable hat, pack sunscreen, and duh, but pack so much water. You can also bring electrolyte packets. I don't know your child's age, so I don't know if that's something they can also have, but then you can like save a little money on not spending a small fortune on Powerade like I did in Florida. You can also ask for ice water at quick service, which I'll be real with you, I hate doing. I hate asking. That is Brooke McDonald's big tip. It's like, ask for ice water. I love going to the park with Brooke because then she asks for the ice water and I don't have to do it. But I don't like doing it. I don't know. I feel like uncomfy being like, excuse me, may I have water? So if you are like that, my workaround is that I order groceries to Disney World a lot lately, but I usually specifically do it so that I can have gigantic water bottles, like a 1 liter water bottle. Because the way that I get dehydrated easily is that if I have a small water bottle and it's empty and I want to go on a ride, I'm not refilling it. I'm just getting on the ride and I'm going to hope for the best. And it sounds like your family is a little bit of the same. So having a gigantic water bottle with me means I'm more likely to have water because there's more space for the water in the bottle. And then I'll drink it while I'm in line. I think those are all of my tips for hot weather. Is there anything else I can think of? No, just make sure to take breaks, cool off. Go to indoor attractions. If you at all feel like this is too hot, abandon what you're doing. Go inside. Chill out. Chill out. Just take a break. Also, the best water in the world is at Starbucks. So if you happen to go to Starbucks, get just like a Trenta or a Venti iced water if they will give it to you. I think in Magic Kingdom, they don't anymore. But I feel like at the other parks, they still do. I haven't ordered it in a while because I've been getting those big old water bottles. But yeah, their water is so good. Their ice water. Ooh, heaven. I hope you have a wonderful time. I'm so sorry I scared you. But truly, it's just because Pearl's a baby and keeping a baby cool is a whole different beast from like a kid who loves theme parks and wants to run around all day. I hope you have a great time. Pack all that stuff. You'll have a great time. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. But hopefully at the end of this call, you feel, you know, like rejuvenated, refreshed, and like you'll have a wonderful time. Because you will. You will have so much fun. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Carly. This is Justin from Southern California. I am visiting Walt Disney World on the 4th of July. I know. 4th of July. I'm already expecting it to be crazy. But we're boarding a cruise in Port Canaveral on the 5th. And there was no way that I was not going to visit Gideon's Bakehouse to stuff my entire suitcase with cookies for my 5-day cruise. Anyways, I wanted to know how possible it would be for me to book lightning lanes on the 4th of July on a high volume day like that, because I have not been on Tron and I have not been on Cosmic Rewind, but I really want to do both of those. So any tips that you have for navigating an insanely busy day like the 4th of July would be greatly appreciated. And what are my odds of getting those two lightning lanes and paying my way onto those rides? Just please let me on. Thank you, Carly.
Hi, Justin. Okay, this is very exciting, and I love that we share a brain, because first of all, you're on a cruise, how incredible, and you're like, I gotta have my cookies for the cruise. Regular people would say there are dessert options on this cruise ship. Doesn't matter. You need your Gideon's, and I'm right there with you. Now, I am not sure if you are staying at a Disney hotel or not. That does affect your access to booking things that morning a little bit, but okay, I'm hesitant to do this, but this is the right thing to say for the situation, so I'm going to do it. This is not an endorsement. Let me just say that. Full blown, this is not an endorsement. I have not used this personally, so this is not an endorsement, but there is a service called Standby Skipper. In my understanding, because again, I have not used this. Please, Disney, do not come for me. I have not used this. I do not endorse it. This is just something that I think will help you in this exact situation. Standby Skipper is a third-party service that, from my understanding, connects to your account and can book your lightning lane return times, individual lightning lanes, things like that for you. Like, you pay them and then they, like, on the back end will auto book them for you. I think you can also, there's some end of the service where you can specify kind of what time you want and they will try to book that. They will let you know if anything opens up instead of having to refresh to try to modify, which is a tip that I have for you. We'll get to that in a second. But anyway, I think because it is a holiday, because you have one day, you got to do this stuff, I would utilize or try this Standby Skipper service. Again, I have not used it. I know people in the FOMLY have discussed it, and I think it's been generally positive. It's somewhat affordable. I think it's in like the $15, $20 range for the service. Again, I don't know. I haven't used it. Don't come for me. But I would recommend that specifically because you have a jam-packed day. You have one shot at this, and that might help you achieve that without stressing. If you choose not to go that route, I would just make sure at 7 a.m. you are on your phone. You are getting it done. And I would also, I wouldn't mess with virtual queue. I would just buy it outright just to, if it's available, if you can, just to make sure you have it. So like at 7 a.m., I would buy the individual lightning lane instead of trying to get in the virtual queue first, just because, listen, it's high stress. I don't want things to sell out on you. I want to make sure you have it. And also modify throughout the day if you want a different time. Just keep trying to like, keep trying to modify, keep trying to see if anything else pops up or shifts within the app. Ideally, that's not how you want to spend your day at Walt Disney World, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. You're only there for one day. Now, in terms of Gideon's, I am unsure if you are already in the area on the 4th or if you are flying in like the morning of the 4th and then doing stuff and then going to a hotel. So because I don't know the exact details, the standby line at Gideon's is, I view it as a bit of a crapshoot, the Gideon's at Disney Springs, because it's a holiday. I don't know if that means that more people will be in line. Maybe more people want to do stuff in the parks that day, so they'll specifically be in the parks. Either way, it's a little, to me, it's a little dicey to like just chance it and see what happens. So if you are flying into the Orlando International Airport and then heading to the parks, I would, don't know your transportation, don't know the hotel, but I personally would take an Uber from the airport to Gideon's at East End Market. That is the other permanent first location of Gideon's. I would take an Uber there. I would place an order in advance for cookies. They have a minimum if you're placing a like longer term advance order, but you can place what I believe is the last minute orders at Gideon's, I believe are within 72 hours. I'm going to just double check that. Oh, peanut butter cold brew cookie. They didn't have that when I was there. Oh, it's delicious. Let me just next day cookie pre-orders. So that is a way where you can't do that for Disney Springs. You can only do that for East End Market. So if you are getting less than, I think the pre-order minimum is 6 cookies, which it sounds like you're probably going to get 6 cookies. Let me double check because I always get more than 6. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it's 6. But this way, like you can do, if you only want 3 cookies, you only want 4 cookies, you can just do that the day before. And you know, I would stress, but again, hopefully you have to do the bigger pre-orders. You have to do between 30 days and 72 hours in advance. So, or you can do this other one. Anyway, this is too much cookie talk. Basically what I'm saying is that you can place your order, either get a bunch of cookies, place it in advance, couple cookies, place it day before, take that Uber from the airport, go to Gideon's, get your cookies, go to Lineage and get a coffee because their coffee there is divine. Then take those cookies to whatever your hotel is, whatever, drop them off, make sure they're safe, they're secure in air conditioning, and head to the parks to do your rides. I think that is much better than trying to like juggle whatever the virtual queue return time is at Disney Springs. Heading to Disney Springs, getting through security, doing that, then going to the parks, then trying to do your rides. I just think it's easier to place it in advance, go a little out of the way, pay for the Uber, the transportation to get there. I think it's the best choice. It's not too far from the airport. I think it's like 20 minutes. It's not too bad. That is the best way to tackle it. That is what I would do. I would try to use this service, or I would be on top of it at 7 a.m. And then I would go to Gideon's East End Market. That I talked way too intensely and fast about cookies, but I think that solves all your problems. Hopefully. I hope you have a wonderful trip. I hope you have so much fun. And have so much fun on your cruise. Oh my God, what a vacation.
Hi, Carly. This is Patty from Nashville, Tennessee, and I know you keep saying that you're going to work on a Disneyland Paris episode and a guide, but just in the meantime, should we stay on property? Does that make sense, or should we just take a train there? We were thinking we'll try to do 2 days or maybe 1.5, but I haven't read or heard much about the hotels. So I was wondering if you stay on property. If so, which property do you like to stay at? And I look forward to hearing your answers. Thanks so much. Love the show. Bye.
Oh man, you were so sweet about it. And I still feel so guilty that yes, I know I owe everyone a Disneyland Paris guide. I need to write something up. I need to make an episode. It has been too long and I keep running into situations where I'm like, boy, I really wish I had that guide. I met someone this weekend who's going to Disneyland Paris in 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, wish I had a guide to send. You haven't put it together. It is haunting me. I appreciate you being so kind about it in your call. I would have been very petty if I was someone calling me. So I am very thankful. In terms of your call, it depends on what the rest of your trip looks like, because I have done both. I have stayed on property. I have stayed in Paris and taken the train. And it depends truly like how much time and how much, like if you really want to squeeze every bit out of Disneyland Paris. Since you are only going for a day and a half, I feel like you definitely want to squeeze a bit more of it out. But I typically go to Disneyland Paris after I land at the airport, because it is, Disneyland Paris is essentially in a loose way between the airport and Paris. So it makes sense to go kind of on the leg into Paris or on the trip back from Paris towards the airport. So if you can line up your trip that way, granted, you will be jet lagged at Disneyland Paris, which is what always happens to me, which I don't love. But I do think staying on property does make things a lot more helpful. That said, if that means you have to wake up and pack up your suitcases and check out anyway, if it's only one night, it might not make that much sense for you depending on how long that process might take. But I think it is, you could really choose your own adventure here. Look into the trains before you make your decision. The day that I took the train most recently, we were being real chill about it. We like didn't have any rush. So we weren't worried about getting there like start of the day and going to the end of the day. I think we even did dinner back in Paris because we left that early, meaning we left the park like mid-afternoon. So look at the train schedule, see if the timing makes sense for you, and I would kind of decide from there. If you do stay in a hotel, there are a bunch of Disneyland Paris hotels I haven't stayed at. I've only stayed at Disney's The Art of Marvel Hotel and then its previous incarnation. Yeah, previous incarnation as Disney's Hotel New York. They did just reopen the Disneyland Paris Hotel. It is probably big bucks of money, big expensive. It's probably real expensive because it's beautiful and it's their, you know, their marquee hotel and it's new, etc. But I would, I really liked the Marvel Hotel. It's walking distance from the park. It's not too bad. You walk through all of Disney Town to get there. I thought the rooms were cute. I thought the theming was nice. It wasn't too Marvel-y. It was truly more like a city. And then there's like the Marvel superheroes here. It was classier than I'm making it sound, I promise. But yeah, I would look at the train schedule, figure out like how much time you really want to spend in the park, if it's worth it to like which schlep is worse, basically. Is it more annoying for you to schlep to the park and schlep back? Or is it more annoying to schlep your bags there, check in, check out, schlep back? So yeah, depending on where it fits in your trip, the train, etc. That is my suggestion to you. And eat at Annette's Diner. It's my favorite. I love it. I got to go back to Disneyland Paris. I'm going to get on that because we need a guide. I need to go back. I've only gone when it was like still kind of COVID protocol the past two trips. So I'll be back. Hold me to it. And I appreciate you being so nice. Thank you and have so much fun. Bye.
Hi, Carly. I have a question. I don't really know if it's podcast to be played on the podcast, but you're the only person, you're my Disney expert, so I think you might know the answer to this one. I have some family coming into California and we're going to spend one day at Disneyland. So it will be their first visit. So I'm treating them to a VIP tour for the day. Maximize our time, make it a truly once in a lifetime special occasion. I know tip is not included in the tour price, obviously for the guide, and that the very expensive cost of the tour does not go to the guide. They just get their regular hourly rate or salary, however it is. I do obviously want to tip them because I assume I'm making an assumption that it will be a wonderful day and that they will have done a lot of work for us, but I have no idea how much I should tip. So any advice you could provide on that or some guidance would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in with this question, which I have gotten before, but only texted to me, like DM'd to me. I've never had someone call into the Churros hotline with this. So thank you so much. I also want to preface this by saying I did get approval to play this. Don't worry. If you don't want something played, your calls are safe. I take tips. Not like money tips. We're talking about money tips. I mean like tips, like information journalist tips. Anyway, back to money tips. Oh my gosh, that was so confusing of me. Yes. So technically, like, they're never going to explicitly tell you, I believe, at least in my experience, that you have to tip a VIP tour guide. But low-key, you got to be tipping your VIP tour guides. They work hard. They are incredible cast members, and they deserve it. Now, the important thing to note is that you got to bring cash. And it is rare that someone would have this level of tip amount of cash on them in person. There is, like, a Chase ATM at Disney's Grand Californian Resort, which I believe you said Disneyland. Yes. So that is where you kind of check in for your tour. There is an ATM there. But otherwise, definitely, if you're going on a VIP tour guide now in the future at any resort, make sure you bring cash. In my experience, which I don't believe is the norm anymore, but in my experience, having taken VIP tours in Walt Disney World specifically, I was told that they have to refuse the tip three times. So if you go on a VIP tour, and we will get to pricing in a second, but if you go on a VIP tour, let's say you are joining a friend's VIP tour, you are doing one of your own, like this caller, anything like that in the future, keep in mind, if you try to give them a tip and they're like, oh, no, I couldn't, keep giving them that tip because I promise, like, they definitely want the tip. They work so hard, but they have to refuse. In my experience in Disney World, they have had to refuse it twice until the third time they can accept. That said, again, you are totally right on the money, literally figuratively, in this call. And it's a little wishy-washy on exact amount to recommend. I've talked to a few people, and it seems like the best recommendation I can give you is like $40 to $50 tip for however many people you have on your tour. But it is in complete fluctuation based on your experience. If like your guide really made your trip, if they were able to arrange things you would have never been able to arrange yourself, like they went above and beyond. They were, you know, they spent a lot of time with the kids on the trip. Like if you and your guide really had a wonderful day, I would definitely tip on the higher end than the lower end. But again, it just tip what you can. When I have gone on tours with friends, we all pool in money for the tip, which I would, if you ever go on a tour with like not family or like if you're in a situation where people can put money together for a tip, that is recommended. But it seems like the figure that has been coming together from my research is at least around a few hundred dollars, like $300. If you can do more, great. If you can, like it, I think it's really, really nice for someone who spends their whole day just making sure you have a wonderful, wonderful time. Again, this is not me demanding you pay a certain amount. This is just what I've heard. Obviously, that changes depending on factors, like we said, but it seems like at least $300 seems to be good. And listen, there, the guides appreciate it. So if you can do it, do a little more, do what you can. So like a few $100, if you can swing it, more always great. If you can't, whatever. I don't want to be the hard and fast on the tipping, but that is kind of what my research has led me to. My past few times I've gone on tours, we did a pool situation. So I'm not sure exactly what the total ended up being, but yeah, I hope you have so much fun. I hope that was helpful. Let me know if you have any other questions. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Much for listening. And keep those calls coming to 747 Churros. You can give us a call, send us a voice note, email it to 747churros@gmail.com. To be honest with you, just because of the interface of the service we use, if you call in, I will see your call earlier than if you email it. The email ones are like a little harder to stay on top of, and the voice ones are a little harder to stay on top of just because it's in a different place. But if you call in, I have to go through all of them. I have a bunch of work, but like work I'm looking forward to doing, so it's totally chill. I have to go through a lot of stuff. I want to reorganize the way we do churros calls so we can tackle them more efficiently. So keep them coming, because I love nothing more than to talk to you about planning your theme park vacation. It is my favorite thing to do. I mean, this episode, it wasn't even supposed to be this episode, and yet I just couldn't stop gabbing. You can rate, review, and follow Veery Musing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can buy Veery Musing merchandise at veery-musing.com. You can follow me, you guessed it, at Carly Wiesel across the internet. You can also subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel. I know that Meta like isn't letting everyone join, which is a huge bummer, because I actually really enjoy... Ooh, sorry for those beeps. Speaking of social media, I feel like Mark Zuckerberg was like, you said an ill word about Meta. No, that's not what happened. I've been doing some video recordings while I record the podcast for social media so that we have a new way to share the podcast with listeners and with new listeners. So that was my camera shutting off because I hadn't used it to record this outro. Anyway, forget that. You can subscribe to my Instagram if Meta lets you. Now I'm scared the camera's gonna be like, we heard the second time. Some people are having issues because it like waitlisted them. Some people can't, are just like physically not allowed to subscribe on their feed. The best workaround, again, is just to have someone gift you a subscription. That's the best thing I've been able to come up with. But otherwise, thank you for holding out if you were on the wait list. And thank you to everyone who subscribes. It is 99 cents a month, which I know is not nothing, but it's, I believe, the lowest they would let me price it. It is less than one drink with cold foam on it. So, and I do absolutely guarantee and promise you will get 99 cents a month worth of content, which is like a low bar. And I think I at least meet that low bar. So come join us on Instagram. It's a lot of fun. And I love chit-chatting with subscribers. You can also join the Foamily at facebook.com/groups/CarlyWeisel. This episode was edited delicately by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. Oh, my God. I have so much to say about this one. This was so great. I'm sorry I did miss the ending of a couple of fun, fun days, but I'm grateful for what we had. So I did want to say something about an Epcot, that playground that you were talking about. Yes, it was very hot, but they had these little black small rocks, which made it very hard for Pearl to crawl on, and she was filthy when we were done. So I just wanted to add that. So have a change of clothes if you're going there, or some wipes to wipe them up. And the metal equipment was so, so hot. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I was at when we went to the Mexican Pavilion where you saw your friends, I found out it was so hot out. We could not bring strollers inside. So I was with the baby, and she was sleeping, and it was so hot, and I needed to cool off. So they were gracious enough to let me stay with the stroller by the air-conditioned opening. So that saved me. So if anybody has to do that or have to run somewhere, that's a great cooling off spot right there. Olivia's restaurant at Old Key West was so delicious, so fun. We're such night owls. We closed the place down at 9:15. So I remember the days when you and I, Carly, would go to the Disney parks alone, and it was like an episode of The Amazing Race. We would run marathons, running to the bus stops, running to get our rides, doing a 10-mile day, seeing everything. It's not like that anymore. Because the baby, of course. But I'm so sorry that you were sick. And lesson learned that we need to accept a brand new Disney for you and the baby. It's just a different experience, and it's slowing down. And by the way, you are not a teenage babysitter. You are one of the most giving, loving, attentive, fabulous moms to Pearl. It is so wonderful to me to see. And when we went to the Riviera Hotel, at that Topolino, I think it's called, the Terrace Character Breakfast, there is a terrace outside that you can go stand there and look around, and it is a spectacular view. Well, when it was time to leave after breakfast, that poor Uber driver, I cried all the way to the airport. It was very sad. But I had such a wonderful time, and I want to thank you so much. And for all the parents out there whose kids and grandkids live out of state, I feel you. It's very painful, and we miss you guys so much, and we love you so much. On that note, it was a great episode. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. Yeah, I still love you, John Stamos. See you next week. Bye-bye.